Amen. You know, some of Pastor Ola and I have been for a while. Brothers and sisters, it was crazy. Brothers and sisters. It was crazy. We were like madmen. One of my friends called me the prophet of Gadara. That's mad prophet. I'm telling you, we're madmen. I didn't know we're mad. You know, when you are healed, that's when you know you're mad. But when I mean mad in a good way. But when it was when we now, after some years, I now look back, I see, I'm afraid. When I look at myself in the past, we're crazy. On literal fire. Literal fire. That's how we were. It was just something else. It is now, then I did not know. It is now that I know. Then I was just being myself. If my son was like me, if this boy that I born, if I see traces of how I was in university, I would withdraw him immediately. I'd take him to one private school. I'd just be like a normal human being. It was crazy. I didn't know. We're lost in the Lord. We're just lost. Preaching the gospel, prophesying. We're just doing what we felt the Lord would have us do. We host programs without flyer. Somebody will just have a dream. That means there must be a gathering. And in by next 2 days, there must be a gathering. People will rush again. We can have 30 days stretch of everyday prayer for 30 days. Every morning. And then at that time, he was studying a very serious course. Then in UNAD, the very, you know, a kind of course that maybe out of 50 people in a class, maybe 3 or 8 or 5 will graduate. And it's normal. It's not a bad thing. When people get into university and say they are doing biochemistry, I will feel sad for them. Genuine sadness. But as we were doing all of that, Ola was very brilliant. He was passing the class. Even when he graduated, he graduated, he just went to rest. People were serving. He said, he's not ready to serve. He said, he divided the service, another 1 year will go. you remember that? How many years did he even stay? Is it? Before he said, okay, I want to go and serve now. Even when I graduated, I did not do clearance. To clear the result that I've cleared, I did not. I just left the school. Okay, I'm graduated. Bye bye. It was crazy. There was a mighty revival on the campus then. A mighty revival. K-Spirit was also part of that revival. A mighty revival on campus then. And I'm trusting God for a better revival even in this community. Amen. One that is better than that. I want the joy the joy in my heart is that I want people to come and ask you that you are a different person. Not you're a perfect person. I want people at work to say, there's something different about you. Then you preach to them and invite them. Not that we want to do Suya night or comedy breakfast service. Hellfire kind of services. Are you with me? I'm not talking about perfect. You know, I always mention it. I say I'm not talking about perfect people. You see, perfection is our pursuit that we cannot pursue well enough to attain. You will pursue well enough for God to have mercy on you. That's the story of perfection. Yeah, not that you have pursued where you not got his car. If it's God we are chasing, and that who we meet God first, he that is here or he that is there, that difference in gap has no significance because of how far God is. That difference does not mean. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Let's assume you have 5K in your account and I have 10K in my account. As regards Bill Gates' wealth, there is no difference in our money. Do you understand that? We are brothers. Do you get that? If you have 5K, I have 10K. As regards Bill Gates' wealth, we cannot be calculating who we first get to Bill Gates' money. Well, it's insignificant, inconsequential. So as per God, the issue of perfection, whether you right now you can see third heaven or 15th heaven, and the person does not even know if there's heaven at all, both of them, as regards perfection, it is who God will now, it is the kind of behavior God will see as, I want to now have mercy on this one. So I'm not talking about perfection. There is no perfect person. There is no perfect church. There is no perfect ministry. There is no perfect assembly. You might think this house is very good, but listen, there are flaws in this house. There are some flaws that are not even noticeable, that we are not even mature enough to see the fault, but that none of us will see it, including myself, until another 15 years. And I say, how were we doing service that time? Do you understand that? And because we're not even permitted to see it. God knows we are growing and he's faithful. So, I'm not talking perfection, but I'm talking about whether perfect or not, there is a beauty that we can radiate. The beauty of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about the fragrance of Jesus Christ that spreads about. And my desire is that you will be given to God's word, like Pastor Ola said, the affliction. You know the word, there's affliction of the word. Do you know that? There's affliction of the word. Every day I preach, I know I'm disturbing you. Every day. You know, it's as if Pastor was talking to me. Every day, disturbing you. At times, affliction of even the time. You know, time too is affliction. The service is getting longer. You don't want to leave. During the convention, I understand some of the things people went through. At times, the service is long. I'm like, so this is what my guys used to feel. The word is sweet. You don't know whether to stay or to stand up. Or you are just, will I not be a devil to live now? But at the same time, you are stressed. What about the demand of the word? You know, there's a way you can't behave anymore. Yeah. There's a way you can't think. As you are thinking that way, there is a judgment already by your side. You judging yourself that, can I? It's a function of the word. But as we give ourselves to this, the Bible says that the word of God will sound from here. I'm believing God that the word will sound from your lives. Even though we are going out to preach the gospel by next month, every Sunday we'll be going out to preach and pray for the sick. And we know a lot of people will be added to us. But beyond that, the greatest addition is after, you know, Jesus will meet one disciple. The disciple will go and meet his brother and say, I've seen the Messiah. Talking about that kind of reflection that men will see. And they'll say, there's something about you. Jesus will look at somebody and say, follow me. I keep saying it. That is one of the statements that amazed me in the Bible. How can you look at a man that has wife, that has responsibility, and you tell him, follow me? And that one too will drop everything. You know why? There was a weight that Jesus was carrying, a weight of life. May you have a life worthy of followership. You know what I mean by followership? Not that they are just following you because they have been psychophants. I just mean there is a pattern and an order that men will just say, I want to follow this person. You know, the rich young ruler came to meet Jesus. He said, what can I do to have eternal life? What kind of life? What kind of life did Jesus carry that somebody is rich, is young, and is a ruler? Now what else do you want? And also righteous. He's rich, he's young, he's a ruler. He's also righteous because he has kept all the commandments. With all of that, what did Jesus have that still made him to say, I want what you have? The church keeps talking about the transfer of wealth, the transfer of wealth, the transfer of wealth. If we are going to receive, if there's anything like that, and if we're going to receive the transfer of wealth, then the church must express something that is more than wealth. Do you understand that? Because the wealth is the peak, one of the peak places in this world. But that means the church must have a life more than wealth. And it's not just miracles. Because Babalawo still do miracles. But I'm talking of a beauty of, you know, Jesus is beautiful. Brothers and sisters, do you know he's beautiful? Jesus is beautiful. Jesus is beautiful. Listen, I say this with all sense of humility that I have met the beautiful Jesus. And I know to some extent, I know how I can teach one or two people to connect with him. And the beauty will radiate from your own life too. Listen, every day he's looking for who to pour beauty on. I'm telling you the truth. Adam, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a prophet. Just being a Christian and just knowing how to behave yourself before this Jesus, he can pour beauty on you. And the direction of this house is that you will carry his beauty and take it with you. And wherever you find yourself, Jesus will be... Listen, we are going to take Jesus to places where Jesus has never been preached before. But people will know that we are carrying something. You know, now evangelism is we are preaching people that know Jesus. You are going to preach to people that have never heard Jesus. But they will just know there is something different about your life. A weight. A glory. And I'm in a local assembly, like Pastor Ola said, these are some of the dispositions. The local assembly tries to give you the accurate disposition to receiving this Jesus. And then your children, even in the flesh, would have met Jesus from you or through you. Not because you forced them to church. Are you together with me? Not because you forced them to do morning devotion. But there's just a pattern and a radiance that has been released in the atmosphere. Let me show you just one scripture that will bring fun to you. Very interesting scripture. John 21. When Jesus was talking to Peter. Very, very nice scripture. Manderebo Shakaradaya. We have come into his house in the multitude of his mercies, and in fear of you we will worship. We have come into your house in the multitude of your mercies, and in fear of you we will worship. Towards, towards your home, towards your temple, towards your holy temple, towards your temple, towards your holy temple, towards your temple. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples, and two others of his disciples were together. Now wait here. Like, I ask myself, what stayed the disciples? What stayed them? Emmanuel, what stayed them? Why were the disciples, why did they stay? Why didn't they go back to live normal lives? Amen. What stayed them? You see, because presently we have, see, and let's not be deceived by some of the cycles you know of. You know, some of you were born again into a very high spiritual, but I'm talking of majority of people aren't born again into a very firebrand cycle. But you know, there are many Christians that can't stay. They can't stay with the, with the weight of Jesus. What do I mean by that? Jesus is not the most obvious reality in their lives. They're not real sinners like that, though. But they are not lost in this Jesus thing. They are very balanced. Do you understand that? They are what? They are not lost. You know why? The beauty of Jesus was not painted. The beauty of Jesus has not happened to their heart. What happened to them is the religion called Christianity. But the beauty of the person of Jesus has not happened. What would stay a man? What would stay you, young woman, a young man? Is the beauty of Jesus happening in you? The disciples, do you know all the disciples stayed? Aside from Judas, all of them stayed. All of them. All the disciples stayed. You know, all of them were martyred. One wanted to be crucified. He said, please, I'm not worthy to be crucified the way Jesus was crucified. Can you turn me upside down? How did he run mad? What technology did was? How did they prepare that level of madness? I don't know if you're together with me. It's a serious discussion I'm talking about. How did he run mad? Do you know right now, I always say that when we talk about martyrdom, everybody laughs about it. God forbid. It looks like something that is so impossible. Now, martyrdom is not the peak of our experience. I'm just saying there is something, there is a beauty, a weight in that hole. May you carry that weight. Amen. That presence of Jesus Christ. And when we carry that thing, we'll flow in love. We'll flow in faith. Because that's what we carry. I tell you guys, I don't have many friends. I don't. It's not easy for me to have friends. I've kept the same friends for 10 years. I don't have many friends. Even one of the funny ones is I don't even have many ministry friends. You know why? Because the few ones that I could have as friends are doing ministry. And that's why we are not friends. Because when I meet a Christian, what should we talk about? Our Jesus. Not our churches. You understand? And I meet some friends and they begin to talk about church. No. Before I started church, it's Jesus. After I've started church, it's who? It's Jesus. I don't have ministry friends. I've told you, I've never in my life, by the grace of God, I've never in my life looked for a big man of God to connect to. So that I can, you know, when I hear those things, the reason I can even tell you this thing I'm telling you is because I've heard them. I did not even know they exist before. That we can connect a man of God. When you connect him, then snap a picture, be around him, especially in Lagos, then you too, you can appear big. I've heard it too. I just heard it lately. It is alien to me. Some will go and carry big money to a particular man of God so that they can be friends, so that it can aid their ministry. You know, they run ministry as if they are running Nestle PLC, like a company. I don't know if you are on the same page. I'm not preaching myself. I'm trying to preach something to you. That whenever your Christianity becomes complicated, are you together with me? Yeah. Complicated. When your Christianity has become, I'm not talking about those in ministry, when your Christianity has turned to shirt and shoe and looking nice and talking. I was telling and then we'll soon start doing live videos, but I was telling one of our guys traveling, because one of our guys, some people have been telling us about doing live videos for services, and I said it's not easy to do live videos for services because it is still very, I said I'm still learning how to preach. It's still very difficult for me to preach like a normal person. He said, you know, today I want to talk about, I don't know how people do it, like robot. I don't know how to do it. I enjoyed the message, though. I'm not saying it's bad, though. I'm not criticizing it, though. But when you are talking to your brothers and sisters, and you are, I'm not sure if that's how Paul preached, though. Today I want to talk about number one, number two, number three. It's not wrong. Don't hear me wrong. I'm just saying I have not yet learned it. And maybe because I did not go to school of, what do they call it? Bible school. Can you see that? For those of you that are members of this church, you have risked your life. The pastor you have submitted to have never gone to Bible school. He has never gone to Bible school. But I know that if you connect with what is happening here, the love of Jesus would rise in your within. I know. And that's my only joy. Say, you just day, you the colo. Say, only you, as you just sit down, only you just day. You just day love Jesus. I'm telling you. The rest, other men of God will come and do it for you. Other men of God. And then you love Jesus. Not because you can say some very high sounding words. You just love him. Listen, you cannot be knowing Jesus normally and you won't enter into the prophetic. It will not be gift, it will normal. You will flow in miracles. It's not possible. I looked at one boy yesterday. I said, you'll be pastor. You're going to be, it's a university. I said, you're going to be pastor in your university. He was just so, yeah. I said, yes, you'll be pastor. Go and prepare. So, an hour later, I had a discussion with the pastor, the present pastor of his fellowship, of his church. He was not talking to me. And I asked him that, so what's his plan of handover? And I said, there's one boy who wants to hand over. And I remember that I told one boy he'll be pastor. And I asked him, he said, yes, that's the person he wants. I just knew. It's not gift of prophecy. It's just, you understand? When you know Jesus, you are changing. Not from good to bad. Not from bad to good. Also from carnal to spiritual. When maybe you were a smoker before, and when you met Jesus, God says stop smoking. It's not just stop smoking. No. After a while, that stop smoking that you stopped will lead to start sin. It's not just from bad to good. It's from carnal to what? To spiritual. And spiritual is interesting when you are normally spiritual. It's just normal. You get it? You know, when you know Jesus, your faith gone will rise. You can just get faith. You just get faith. Then you get faith. Not that you they use, not just that you use faith. You have faith. It's normal. You normally believe. You are shocked when God does not show up. You are used to God showing up. You just never say, person we will talk this morning. We will talk this morning. We tell you something. I was trying to believe God for something lately. And I was trying to have faith. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you try to have faith here, I will deal with you. You are trying to have faith. You are past that level. You better have faith now and move on. And we don't have time. You know, the Holy Ghost said, we don't have time to discuss this faith. Just have faith. As I have. I'm not lying to you. As I have. I have faith. I'm not trying. I'm not, hey, I believe. I was there before. And I'm still there in some other things. But in some things, I just have faith. In him, it has... Not having faith is not your nature. Not having faith is not your nature. Not having faith is carnality. It's not who you are. It's not your nature. So as you keep changing, you will have faith. All the faith things you are struggling about, to have faith. Listen, the reason you are struggling to have faith for things is still because after a while, when the person of God is formed in you, it will not just be having faith that something will happen. What will strengthen your faith on things will be that you have faith in a person. I don't know if you heard that. You see, because Abraham got to a point where he knew God cannot lie. He counted God faithful. That's faith. For you to be able to have faith for things, many people don't want to know him, but they want to believe him. Oh, my struggle. They don't want to know him, but they want to believe him. So the faith is fake faith. It is positive thinking. It is psyching up your emotion. God will do it. God will do it. God. The first thing is not, the problem is not he will do it. It's the God you are saying will do it. You don't know him. That's why it is weak. Because that's what you are trusting God for. If it was Dangote that told you, you will do it. You will believe. You will not try to have faith. You are trying to have faith because you don't know the person. I believe my God will do it. Oh, body. Oh, team. If you say like that, go to your door, say, go give you money. You don't go that out. You go say, correct, 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 my guy. But God say, go give you money. You say, I believe, Lord, I believe. You see? So weeks back, I had a vision. I saw gold. I got them. He said, boy, you go get money. As the correct one. You didn't want to get money. Get money. When he begins to speak to you, you will find your life in his word. That's upgrade. You will walk away from the earth and go and join them. You should be receiving your own life from his word. The word of God should be how you are thinking about yourself. Don't think about yourself based on what is in your account or what you see presently. He should be talking to you, and you should go and build your life in his word and be completely deceived, so to speak. Brainwashed by Jehovah himself. Reorganized by God. Because he has spoken to you. Are you with me? What perception of yourself do you carry? Is it the one your father gave you, or Nigeria gave you, or the situation gave you, or your third class or tutu gave you? What are you thinking about yourself? How do you see yourself? Did you hear him say that thing you are thinking? Or you arrange yourself based on the lack of things you have? You reduced your life to fit into your limitation. Have you reduced your life to fit into your limitation? Or you have decided to take steps in the direction of what he has said. What did Jehovah say to you? So faith will not be trial and error anymore when you know whom you have believed. Are you together with me? Are we on the same page in the house? Is it because I see a you that none of us can describe with our natural senses? There is a you that Jehovah is birthing. A new you, a brand new you. A you that would even shock your pastor, even though he'll behave like he's not shocked. So I knew right from time. I knew you were going to be this rapper. I knew it. What has he said to you? And then when God speaks to you, do you count it as okay? If God says you are poor and you see 3 billion in your account, go and throw the money away. And if God says you are rich and you see 0 naira in your account, go and rejoice. If God says you are ugly and you look at your face in the mirror and you think you are a slayer, go and cut yourself with knife. He's true. You are a liar. You are a liar. Oniron ye. Eyan to ba de gbon won ma paro ni. He must talk to you. And when he talks to you, Bible says that when God speaks, it says with men an oath is an end to all strife. By two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. Has he spoken to you? Has he spoken to you? Everything shall pass away, but not the dot of his word. Jesus told Satan, man shall not live alone, but by every word that proceeds. After a while, those words will now not just be occasional words that you use. After a while, the words will now be systems that would consistently produce for you. It begins with words based on issues. But as you lay hold on God, it will not just be issue-based words. There will be system word. The Lord will arrange a system. We have NEPA system. We have NEPA. We have Water Corporation. There is a system. If you have gone to America, you understand. Just the way I would go to America. That's why I understand now. If you have been there, like me, you will understand that when you have paid your bills, when you open the tap, water will come out. They don't go and look for the water when you open the tap. They are trying to look for the water. There is a system that is commanded to produce water. The pipes have been dug, buried. The wires, they have dug the ground. The wires are there. It's a system. It's not fluke anymore. It will always happen. And as you live the word daily, the word is forming a system for you. Kabo Shaya. I am Anteleke Sivrenda. Ayakabasitis. Can I preach to you? Lalu umadi system. God's system cannot fail. So it comes occasionally with words. You see, because for God, it's not just about to solve your problem. As those words are coming, you are building fellowship. Then it turns to system. You can, whenever you need water, you open the tap. It's a system already. It's a system already. For example, when God begins to talk to you about miracles, you try once, it wouldn't work. Try another time, it works. You keep trying. After a while, a system is built around you. But you know, that's not just all. A system is important, but that's not just all. When you have been faithful with the system, Lakeside, then it will graduate from being a system. It will be a person. So that the word of God will not just be a system around you. The word of God will not be a reality that you carry. Akadaya. It's not just a system that works for you. It now becomes a nature that is formed in you. At that level, change of location don't matter. At that level, you become the producer. It's you. You know, the word don't work for Jesus. He is the word himself. The word was made flesh. But that's not how it started. When he was 12 years old, he was reasoning with the Pharisees, gathering the system and communicating with them, the system was being built. After a while, he became the fullness of God. He carried it himself.
So don't say, Pastor Zach, this thing, it works, it comes and go, it comes and go. Stay at it. A system is being built. Say, Pastor Zach, I tried it yesterday, it didn't work. Stay at it. A system is being built. Pastor Zach, the last person I prayed for didn't get it. Just stay at it. A system is being built. Don't leave, please. Don't leave. We all laugh together. The Bible says, why do the idiot read? Why do the people imagine the baby? He said, he that sees the devil. Shall I? What show of fools? What teach you? You get it? Very soon, the things you prayed hard about, after a while, you will laugh hard about them. Not because God has done it, but you are broken through. You are broken through. You will laugh. Listen, very soon, all this, God, see as I'm crying, see as I'm crying, it's a level. You soon stop crying. You go come begin laugh because divine perspective has become your perspective. As you are thinking, is how he's thinking. It's mixed. You are told to mix. It mix. It's not good now. Good dad, come on, go to long she. You go more go to long filia ye she. But no more. You go to shelly. So that you can laugh. That you can laugh. This God is beautiful. This your Savior is beautiful. John. All right, we've read that part. All right. Keep going. All right, let's start from here. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and nearly got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. I don't know, I want to prophesy, but I don't know if you are ready for it. Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast. And now they were not able to draw it because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. As soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have caught. Simon went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is not the third time Jesus showed himself to disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than what? This. So you cannot understand that question until you understand what happened. Because that this is the event.
So that event, Jesus was bringing them to a question. So all those time, he wanted to ask a question. I don't know if I'm on the same page. He wanted to ask a question, then he took them on a journey. See, you had better follow God, though. Because this your God does not understand time. If you do not follow him well enough, he can say, okay, you don't want to follow me, Abby. All right, let's go on a journey. He can use 10 years of your life to ask you a question. Those that are expressing this know what I'm saying. Because he had appeared to them 3 times. This is the 3rd time. And they still went on fishing. And I said, okay, let's do drama. This drama is not because you are seeing one verse, one chapter in one chapter. If you don't get yourself well, this one chapter can play out with your life for 10 years. You now ask a question, are you ready? Because when he first encountered Peter, he was in this same scenario. This same scenario, Peter was looking for fish. He did not get fish. He told him, cast your net. He got the fish. He was amazed at the catch. He said, I will follow you. And he told him that day that your destiny is not fish. Your destiny is men. You are meant to be fishers of men. He picked him up that day. They did mighty things. Jesus had resurrected. Peter went back to fishing. Now say, it's a big fish that is troubling you. He went there, did not catch anything. Jesus now came. Let's go back to 7. I said, it's a big fish. All right. Put your net on that side. He caught the fish. So much that their nets could have broken. God helped their net on the bread. They brought the fish to the land. Bible says, in that land, Jesus already had with him bread and fish. Yeah. Let's go back there. Go to 7. Verse 7. Verse 5. But the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? So this is the parable started. All this your struggle. Do you have food? Shawatila. Thank you, God. When I make it, I will serve you. That fear that Satan brings, that you think the more you go into God, you will not have the things of this world. And God said, all right, brother. Okay, since now, have you caught any fish? Maybe you have forgotten what I did for you. Have you not caught fish? Do you have any food? Not even to be selling. Have you even caught the one you can eat? The other said, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. You see, leave it this. He said, you will catch some. But that some, see what they caught. God is just trying to say that, the things you are looking for, when I'm ready, I can mess you up with them. Just calm down. He's just trying to let you know there is no big deal about this thing. So, do you believe that God made the heavens and the earth? Do you really believe? Does that ring in your head that these stars were made by God? The moon and the constellations, everything, he made them by just talking. And this person is your father. Does it make sense to you? Are you sure? You are not just theologically right, but actually you do not really believe. You believe the Big Bang theory more. Because the way I'm looking at you, do you really believe that God created heaven and earth? Because the way you are behaving is as if you believe Big Bang theory. Because if you are sure your father created heaven and earth, then that your 2 kobo is nothing for him to give you. He said, cast. You will cast some. But his some, they cast, and now they were not able to draw it. You know, that's the kind of mockery miracle. If you are not enlightened, you think it's blessing you. It's actually mocking you. If you are totally dead, you will not know. Because, see, they could not draw because of the mouth of the wapu. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loves, said, it is the Lord. It's not the fish. That was the sermon John had. It's not about fish, it's the Lord. And how was he able to discern that? It was the description of John. He had a love relationship with Jesus. It not be fish, not Jesus. This is a parable. It's not about fish, it's the Lord. He's embarrassing us. This is not a miracle. This is an insult. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it. You understand? This fish will go cash on today. God is saying, wear your clothes. Wear your clothes. Don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. You know, people with all their flesh chasing this world, like with all their energy, don't kill yourself. He had removed it and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as he had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. You can't go and make money. I say, God, when I make money, or when I do this, I'll use it to serve you. I'll use it for your kingdom. What arrogance. Who are you? God, I'll use it for you. Or whatever you have, you think when you bring a billion to this church, you think you have done God a favor. I'm going to bring God. Say, shut up. You already had fire. See, you had fire. They saw a fire of coals there, and fish is laid on it and bread. Huh? Are you seeing it? Next time when God tells you to do something, just go and do it. Say you are looking for one more. Which one? Money is the last thing you need for divine assignment. I don't know. We're talking about spiritual. The breath of God is what you need. Looking for sponsors. You have not even started the assignment. You are already printing sponsors later. You will not go far. No, some people have the form. The form is perfect. The work itself is not there. It's the form. Have you seen people organized over nothing? The organization is greater than the content. Everything is organized. What are we doing here exactly? I think of a program where there are just two people there. Two people, five ushers. Two people, five ushers, three drums, the cabinet, everybody just looking serious. The man, why are you people killing? What happened to you? What happened to you? If you rest, will you die? Organization is more than the content. Because we think we need to bring everything to the table. This is your life and your destiny is cheap with God. God does not. If things are not coming, just calm down. There are things you need to learn. When they brought everything they brought there, he already had fish. He already had bread. And he already had fire. Already. I say all things that you need are already prepared by the Lord himself. You just need to flow in love for Jesus. And let his love ravage your soul. Just love on him. And have integrity with the Lord. And just be with him. And love him. And serve him. And obey him. For you shall lack nothing. He will give you. If he freely gave you his son, He will not hide anything from you. He will give you all things through that same son. As soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire. Of course there. Imagine how they would have felt. Then they got there. They saw fire. They saw fish. And they saw bread. And they were carrying their own fish. That's how you will look when you waste your time thinking you have to prove something to God. When you come back, you'll come back embarrassed. Hallelujah. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Then Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. None of the disciples there asked him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time. This is now. You understand that kind of language? This is now the third time. Have you told someone that? Wait, this is now the second time I'm telling you this thing. No? This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So there is a point in your life where God expects some level of response. I don't know if you are together with me. There are things he has told you. There are things he has showed you. There are experiences you have had. There are even failures you have had. Repeated failures. You have made the mistakes over and over again. You have struggled and failed. You started again, struggled. And God is saying, shh, it is how many times? And I feel that this morning God is bringing some of us back to our senses. This is the third time I'm telling you this. Would you just calm down? Can everybody just calm down? Can the whole world just calm down? And see what this Jesus can do. Can we just keep quiet? Can we just shut down the flesh? And shut down our minds? Give him all the glory that he deserves. I say, Lord, have your way. Take this vessel. Stop trying to be smart. Stop trying to just do things yourself. Stop. Stop pitying yourself. Stop thinking you have one kind of problem that you must arrange one kind of fleshly energy. Just rest. 70 of us, even our problems come from comparison with other people. Comparison with the world standard. Who told you it's a problem? Much of what we call problem is comparison. I'm telling you, it's worldliness. Much of what we call problem is worldliness. Is this not you breathing? Are you not breathing and you are eating? James told us, God told us that the day you should know you begin to have problem is if you don't have clothes and food. Then you must calm down and say, God, what's happening? When there's clothes and food, rejoice. I don't know if you are together with me. It is the system of the world that, listen, God will give you more than clothes and food. But God is saying that don't think God, whenever there's clothes and food, rejoice. Not designer clothes, clothes, whatever clothes. Whether the ones that dry quickly and all does not dry quickly. You know those ones that dry quickly? You know them? If you just wash it, immediately you've not even dried it, that's already dry by itself. The clothes does not retain water. As you are washing it, the water will be coming out. They don't even need iron. It will iron itself. So when they are eating breakfast, just said to Simon Peter, okay, Simon, Jonah, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? And that's the question we want to ask ourselves. To round up this service, is that question. Do you love Jesus more than this? More than fish? More than your own agenda? More than your own plans? Why are you angry? Why are you offended? Is it because of what you want? Is what is offending you? Is it the will of God that has not come to pass? You are angry because God's will has not come to pass? Or is that thing that you think if you don't have, you will die? Jesus is saying to John, to Peter, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know I love you. But the question is, man, I know you love me. But your love is still around these things. He said, feed my lambs. He said to him the second time, Simon, do you love me? He said, I love you. You know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. So come. God was taking Peter away from his own. Away from Peter's own to God's own. I don't know if you must understand this. This is what I want to preach. This is all I want to say. I said everything to ask God this question. That Peter, forget your fish. Forget this thing. Can you now take care of my own lamb and my own sheep? Can you deliver? Whenever you are walking in the flesh, it's because you are trying to push your agenda. Anytime flesh comes into play, anytime yourself comes into play, because it's about you. He said, can you shut down about you and begin to be concerned about my sheep and my lamb? You guys should not have gone for fishing. It was time for Bible study. You had to gather all the other disciples and teach them my word. You were meant to be caring for them, not looking for fish. I don't know if somebody's hearing me. That was not the assignment. Many of us find we are challenged and troubled and battered because where we are presently is not even where we're meant to be at all. Is that journey? It's not the Lord's journey itself. We are blaming God about the challenges we are finding in places He never even sent us to. Do you love me more than this? It's now about my sheep and it's about my lamb. Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time again. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Just said to him, most assuredly I say to you, brothers, can we see this? When what? You were young. You guarded yourself and walked where you wished. That's the challenge. God allows it for a period of time where life was about anything you wanted. But after a while, God changes the game. It is in this place many of us get confused. When God is about to change the game. When you first met Him, anything you said, anything you wanted, anywhere you wanted to go. But there is a shift. We all must be ready for this shift. Well, it's not about what you wish. God says you were young then. I'm not going to allow that kind of life. Peter just felt like fishing. Said, let's go and fishing. That girl is fine. I want to marry her. Will you marry me? I just told you. Just like, don't see any girl. Just like, don't see. I like her. Hey, hello. How are you? Hey, I'm a Christian. I still can talk. You're going to be my girlfriend. Okay. I'll be your boyfriend. Both of you now start dating, then your heart will not be doing you one kind. You want to pray, the thing is not working again. Your old Christian arrangement has scattered. You're now wondering what's happening. You will now wonder for another 3 years what's happening. Then one day the boy will say, I don't think we're meant to do this thing. You know, cry, oh, my heart is broken. You were young, you did what you wished. But there's a time where no more, another will not come. But when you are old, what will happen? You will stretch out your hands. That's a sign of surrender. God is bringing us to that place that says surrender. It's time for surrender. And another. Can we shout another? Can we shout another? Another will guard you and carry you. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Another will now what? Carry you. Do you know how it feels to be carried? It's not very difficult though. It's interesting, huh? Isn't it? Your life is not meant to be difficult. Another is meant to carry you. Eh? All this. No, that's not the plan. The plan was for another to carry you. But if you are going to enjoy the carrying of another, are you together with me? You must be ready to what? To stretch your hand. Many of you want God, carry me, God, carry me. And yet you are struggling. God says, no, I only carry those that have stretched their hands. Amen. There is a kind of life. There is an order of life where you are carried. I don't know if you are together on the same page. There is a realm where you are carried. Another comes and carries you. Spiritually, physically. Your natural life is carried. It's no longer by your own strength anymore. But for you to enjoy the carrying, you must have what? Stretched out. And I feel this morning that God is calling some of us to that shift. I believe this morning God is saying to us that we must stretch out. You have enjoyed that kind of life where you just decided, did whatever you wanted. But I'm perceiving in my spirit that the Lordship of the Holy Ghost God wants that to happen to you, where the Holy Ghost becomes your Lord and he begins to carry you. You see, for the Holy Ghost to carry you, it's not, the first thing is not to say, God, what do you want me to do? Angel, no. The first thing is just to say, God, have your way in my life. Do you know, you can say, God, have your way in my life, and God say, keep doing what you are doing. It's just about stretching your hands. No inferiority complex. No superiority complex. No forcing yourself. Don't force anything. I will go with you wherever you lead. Oh Lord, I will go.